Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett.
No, you're not. You're Preston. In our next conversation with historian Don Bradley, we're going to talk about the lost 116 pages. Were there actually 116 pages? Don thinks that it might have been 2 to 3 times that amount. How does he come to that conclusion? In our next conversation, we'll talk about his book and figure out how he comes to that conclusion. So you won't want to miss it. Check out our conversation.
So, one of my sources is, on the length of these pages, is the ancestor of one of our living apostles. Okay? At a state conference in Provo on April 6, 1856, a man named Emer Harris spoke about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, and he talked about the lost 116 pages. He says explicitly some of what was in those pages, which is in my chapter 14 on the story of Mosiah and the Amulekites. He talks more about the Amulekites. And he also says something about the length of the lost manuscript. He says there, and the living apostle is Dallin Harris Oakes. I think most people don't know that's what the H stands for, but it is. He's, I believe, a great great-great-grandson of Emer Harris. So,
and how's Emer related to Martin?
Oh, did I not mention it? He's his brother.
They're brothers, sorry. Okay.
So recall how the manuscript gets lost. Martin wants to take it home. There are reasons for that are much more detailed, actually, than what we thought, right? It is for his wife and family, but he's given them big reason, right? He has to have something to show for the sacrifices. He's been making big sacrifices for the family, on the family's part for this book. So he has to take it home and show it to them. He shows it to family members. He's only supposed to show it to a few of them. He shows it to everybody. He shows it to all kinds of family members, friends, neighbors. You know, he's reading it to people in the evenings. Probably one of the people who saw this manuscript was Martin's brother, Emer. Emer was around at the time, didn't live in Palmyra, but he lived nearby. Martin, for apparently like a couple weeks, has shown it to like everybody, especially family. And so Emer Harris would be a very informed source on this. Here's what he says about his brother's role in the recording of this manuscript. He says that his brother Martin scribed for near 200 pages of the manuscript before it was lost. Now, note the problem, right? If the manuscript is only 116 pages, you can't scribe near 200 pages of it, right? Now, Emer Harris knew this number 116 really well. We know that because the number 116 had been put in that Book of Mormon preface, the 1830 edition. Emer Harris has a copy of it and goes out on his mission with Martin. They go on a mission together for a long while, spreading copies of that book. The recorder, the clerk for the stake who writes these stake minutes, I found these minutes in the church archives in Salt Lake. The recorder makes a note at the top of the page, apparently afterward, so he can remember where this information about the lost manuscript is. And he writes as a page header, the 116 pages. The guy speaking had just said it was near 200 pages that Martin had recorded, but the number 116, the name, the 116 pages, was so cemented in the clerk's mind that he still calls it the 116 pages. So that's why I titled my book The 116 Pages too, is because that's what we all know it as, right? So why question that? Well, I mean, Martin's brother, right, for one thing. Paper at that time was sold in certain quantities. Martin, as the financier of the project and the main scribe, and someone wealthy, is probably the person who bought the paper. He would have bought the paper, brought this paper down with him to Harmony to, you know, record the text. And paper was sold in units called quires. If you had four quires of paper, it would be 192 pages. It would be just under the... It would be basically the number almost that Emer Harris says. He said it was near 200 pages. Well, you mean kind of like 192 pages, right? There's also evidence that after working on the manuscript with Martin Harris, Joseph was out of paper because Joseph Knight has to buy him more paper soon after that so he can begin translating again. So Martin would have had an idea of how many pages he had scribed on the manuscript because he would have known the quantity of paper that he bought, which was apparently four quires. So there's also a question. This has been raised a long time ago. A lot of people are familiar with the Book of Mormon Critical Text Project. Now, Royal Skousen, who runs the current Book of Mormon Critical Text Project, he thinks that it was 116 pages because that preface says so. You know, this is a difference in interpretation. There was an earlier Book of Mormon Critical Text Project that maybe not a lot of people know about by Robert F. Smith. And Robert F. Smith, in his Book of Mormon Critical Text Project, had actually questioned this number, 116. And the reason is that when he looked at what that Book of Mormon preface says, and it says the lost manuscript was 116 pages, he noticed that if you look at the length of the text that Joseph is saying they replace the lost manuscript with, the small pages, in the printer's manuscript, it's basically exactly 116 pages long. The small plates that substitute for the lost manuscript are 116 pages and then the first 2.5 lines at the top of 117, so 116 pages. Mm-hmm. Why would there be a magical coincidence that what replaces the lost manuscript was exactly as long as the lost manuscript? So Robert F. Smith's idea is Joseph doesn't know how long the manuscript was. It's not like he was like, we don't know if they were paginating it as they went. It's not like Martin Harris has experience as a scribe and like he's going to know, I better write the pages on it. If page numbers were written, we don't know that Joseph Smith was making note of them. And we don't know that he would have remembered them a couple years later. So it looks like, and this is, you know, Bob Smith's idea, Joseph doesn't know the length of that manuscript. So he's like, what number can I use as my best estimate for it? Well, the length of what replaces it. Now, it turns out that's not really a good way of estimating it. There are a few reasons why. Hey, so for one thing, the small plates gives more of a thumbnail sketch, right? It says that it's like a really tight abridgment of the history, not a fuller version like Mormon's, you know, text based on the large plates, his abridgment. That is the first reason maybe to question the 116. We've already mentioned Emer Harris. There are several lines of evidence on this, and I'll just mention one more. Joseph tells us how long Martin was taking dictation for him. He says it was from on this manuscript before it was lost. He says it was from about April 12th to about June 14th. And he gives that in his official history. So that would be a period of 64 days. Now, we have good ways of estimating Joseph's translation rate because we know the time period that Joseph was working on the later manuscript that we still have, the 1829 manuscript. And when we look at that time period, the number of days involved, and compare it to the number of manuscript pages produced, we can get an estimate of average pages per day. If Martin Harris is only produced, if Joseph and Martin together are only producing literally 116 pages over some 64 days, They're going at snail's pace. They're going at a fraction the speed that Joseph's going at as soon as he resumes the translation process months later, 9 months later. Why? Why would we go a fraction of the speed? Also, a lot of people may not know this, but Martin is not Joseph's only or first scribe on the Lost Pages. According to the sources, there were four scribes on the Lost Pages before Martin. Joseph names a couple of them. He names Emma, who was actually his very first. They began producing the Book of Mormon manuscript as husband and wife. She's his very first scribe. And she gives us information that nails that down. Then her brother Alva, her brother Reuben, and Samuel Harrison Smith, and then Martin. Martin's the fifth scribe to work on that manuscript. So if Joseph and Martin and Joseph and each of these other four scribes in all their work together produce, with Martin's part of that being 64 days and then a few weeks or so more work by the other four scribes, if they only produce a total of 116 pages over that time, they've got to be going at like 1/6 the translation rate that Joseph's going at when we can check on his translation rate later. That's like a massive, like one thing that people who want to argue that, no, it was really like exactly just 116 pages, there are some hurdles. There are some things to be explained.
People argue that it's exactly 116 pages.
There are people who argue that it's exactly 116 pages.
I wouldn't be one of those.
They're going to have to explain why there's a coincidence. I've never heard anyone attempt that. I think what they have to do probably is just brush it off and say, well, it is just a coincidence. Okay, kind of a funny one, you know, like to have no explanation for it at all. They've got to explain why does Martin's brother, who would be isn't the perfect position to be in the know, he's the brother of the guy who scribed most of this manuscript, who borrowed it, who took it home, who read it at his leisure, and who shared it with the family. And Emer may have seen it himself. He's saying Martin's part of it that he scribed was near 200 pages. He's not even talking about the other four scribes who worked on it. It was probably longer than 200 pages based on his account. Why is he saying this, even though he would have known the number 116 from the preface? He feels like he has better information, and he was in a position to have better information. So how do we explain that away?
Could he be combining Emma and all the other scribes together in that 200?
He could. That's not actually what he says.
Yeah.
So it's possible he lumps them all together. It is possible. One thing that he's not doing is he's definitely not talking about a part of the manuscript outside of the lost 116 pages. So there's evidence that when Joseph resumes translating again, Martin scribes for something like maybe 10 pages more of the text for the part that we have. So that would be, if this was literally 116 pages, then Martin's total output would have been like 126-ish, right? Now, Emer is saying before the manuscript was lost, his brother scribed near 200 pages. And he's saying, So he's saying all of that work that he's describing there was before, was on the lost manuscript, and he's saying it approached 200 pages. There are a few things people advocating that it's 116 pages would have to explain, and a few more that I give in that chapter, right? But also they'd need to explain, like, why is there a crazy change in Joseph's translation speed? Why is he so slow that he's only producing 116 pages? So
he's getting better. The more he goes, he gets faster, right?
He may get better, but here's the problem with that, okay? Maybe Joseph gets practice, okay? But between when he stops translating on the lost manuscript and when he starts translating again, there's no practice. It's 9 months of not practicing because he's not translating during that time. He appears to have been going at a snail's pace this whole time compared to this, compared to later, if it's only 116 pages. Then suddenly, where we can clock his rate, he's several times as fast. Practice doesn't explain that. Practice would give us a, you know, presumably like a smooth upward climb, and that's not what we see.
Mm-hmm. Well, so who are these people that are making such a big deal about this? Because, you know, I wouldn't take any number seriously, that seriously, that literally, I guess.
There's some people there that I don't want to directly publicly pick a fight with. I've encountered it online already, but I'll just...
Can I ask this question? Are they like farms or fair type people?
There are at least two remarkably capable scholars who are advocating that it was just 116 pages. Mm-hmm. At the time that I've seen them advocating that up to this point, the only contrary evidence to that they tried to deal with was the coincidence of, you know, the small plates being the exact length of the lost manuscript. I would be very interested to know how they will deal with the several additional lines of evidence, right? The few that I just gave and a couple more that I have in my chapter 5 here. Mm-hmm. I'll be very interested to see how they deal with that. And my attitude on it is, you know, when it comes to doing history, we don't have direct access to the past, right? If the lost manuscript still exists, it's lost still. We don't know where it is, right? We can't at least right now, we don't have the technology to literally look back in time. So we have our fragments of the past, and we need to take those like puzzle pieces and put them together in the way that they best fit. As historians, we create models of the past. And the model that can explain the most data in the simplest way is the best model. So what I'm doing here in describing the evidence for the manuscript length, and I end up arguing that it's like over 200 and maybe even up to like around 300, well, actually possibly more, but maybe like nearly 300 pages, maybe 250, I don't know. I lay out some arguments on that using converging lines of evidence. But what I'm doing is not claiming some sort of direct access to the past, you know, time machine, revelation, right? I'm just creating a model to best explain the data. If others can present a model that explains that data better and more simply, more power to them, and I would be the first person to be like, oh, wow, you've explained more than I have, so this is a better model, you know. Scholarship is a conversation, mm-hmm. right? And so I welcome any, I'm giving an installment in that conversation, a contribution to it, and I welcome further parts of that conversation. I really think that it will be difficult ultimately to argue that it was just 116 pages, given how many lines of evidence there are pointing that all the lines of evidence, other than the fact the number 116 is used in the preface, all the lines of evidence point to it being significantly longer than that, at least 200 pages. Why would all the lines of evidence point to that if it's only 116? So, like I said, I'm open to other models, and we'll put the models in competition and may the best model win.
Cool. All right.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with historian Don Bradley. In our next conversation, we're going to touch on Don's personal spiritual journey. Don actually left the LDS Church for a few years and came back. What brought him back?
I was out of the church officially for 5 years. It was during that time that I did my research on justice polygamy for Brian. And after having spent several years exploring a model of Joseph Smith as opportunist and considering of every single thing he did and said, what was in it for him? I was asking that question and looking at, you know, all the known sources on Joseph Smith's relationships with women. I came back to the church.
Okay? Polygamy and, brought you and, back to the church?
No, people say that, and that's not right. No, I did not return to the church because of Joseph Smith's polygamy. I mean, in a way, I returned in spite of it, by which I don't mean that, like, Joseph Smith's polygamy was such a horrible thing.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please support Gospel Tangents and become a subscriber. For just $5 a month, go to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview. And you can also get transcripts available at either our Amazon website, or if you want to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website at gospeltangents.com, and you can click the yellow subscribe button. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to click here to subscribe on YouTube, here for a transcript. And over here, we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again for listening.